What an absolute thrill to be in for Rush Limbaugh. Rush has meant so much to me in my life. I did a bit of a podcast about this. We may put out that it's beyond radio host to me. And by the way, I want to thank EIB for having me on. But Rush gave me life lessons. Maybe he's given you life lessons as well. And one of those lessons is that people who tell you can't do something are largely people who haven't done it themselves. And I've held that so close in my life. So I just, it's always a thrill to be on. 800-282-2882 if you want to be on the program and add to this. Michael Moore. There are few people in the world that, for whom I have less ability to tolerate or desire to be on a planet with than Michael Moore. What he's done in his movies and his propaganda is so destructive. And to stand on the body of bodies of dead kids to make ridiculous and just simply unsupportable statements about gun owners in America is so beyond any kind of reference I have for a frame of morality. It's very difficult for me to say anything positive about the guy. And this isn't particularly positive about him. But Michael Moore has said that President Trump is headed for another win. And he couldn't be further apart from the president in terms of political views, the degree that Michael Moore has political views. He has, in my judgment, sort of more opportunistic, emotional-based views. But he says Trump is going to win again. I remember this, that Michael Moore said that Trump would win the first time Donald Trump ran. And he said it very quickly. He said it would be the greatest middle finger in history to the establishment. One thing about Michael Moore is that he actually does get people on his side of the political spectrum. He gets that. And he understands how to tap that. I don't think Michael Moore is even faintly aware of what's driving this in at least one instance. And there's a lot that's driving it, right? When you talk to Trump voters, and 800-282-2882, we've been talking to Trump voters today. You will hear an array of reasons for people supporting the president. A lot of it aligned in this, that no one else has done it, right? So people who say it cannot be done, Rush has talked about this for years. People who say it cannot be done are people who have not done it. So what do we have? We have Washington, D.C. You can't cut federal programs. It can't be done. Yes, it can. You can't use free market principles to change and make better health care. Yes, you can. And President Trump introduces this Transparency Act. Think of how this incredible act, an executive order, has not gotten this attention. For years, medical prices have been hidden, literally hidden. Like we talked about the first hour, sometimes in politics, it's helpful to do something called, would it work in the real world? If you were going to buy a house and you said, what's the price of the house? And the real estate agent said, wow, yeah, we really can't tell you that because there's a lot of contingencies here. Because that might be a really nice wood product in there. There could be some engineering features in the house, and it's possible that roof may open up into a sun. Well, what are you talking about? I need to know the price of the house. Yeah, really, we're talking about quality. We don't want to get into a race to the bottom, so we don't advertise the prices of our houses. That's what's been done in medicine for years. And the insurance companies, who are these major lobbyists, who are always in Washington, D.C., always trying to get other insurance companies cut down. And their ultimate victory, of course, was Obamacare, where they succeeded in forcing you to buy products you don't want from companies you hate for services you don't need at prices you cannot afford. The president takes this tact and says, well, wait, we're just going to make them show their prices. Right? Well, that can't be done. It was done. The president has done this. So I don't think Michael Moore is tapped into the degree to which the American people have said, no, we want people who will. I also don't think that Michael Moore is tapped into the degree to which you, and join me in this, I'm curious if you have this same sense of this coming election, 2020. Does the American media choose our president? That's it for me. Do New York and D.C.-based journalists and news entities, do they choose our president, or do we? That is a huge question for me. And it should be a huge question for everybody. And in matter of fact, it should bother liberals. But it doesn't, because, of course, on the non-talk radio side of the world, they own most of those networks. And yet that it doesn't bother them, because they can't imagine a day when those networks aren't speaking their point of view. So I don't think Michael Moore is aware of the fact that you and I are so tuned into how the press has turned. Let me give you an example of what's coming up. And they know this is coming. The press, I guarantee, has been briefed upon a technique that the Democrats intend to use during the Kavanaugh hearing. I said it, just Freudian slip, during the Senate impeachment trial. If Mitch McConnell, Mitch McConnell's doing a great job on that. I make fun of McConnell a lot. I do a decent Mitch McConnell impersonation. But I think he's doing an admirable job in showing Pelosi for what she is. The Democrats intend to Kavanaugh this. So now all of a sudden there's going to be, we have new evidence and we have new witnesses and we have this new information. For 3 years, they have gone at this president and suddenly they have new information. And just like in the case of Justice Kavanaugh, just like in that, you'll go back and say, wait, you sat on this. You had this for years. And you let it sit. And the Democrats brief media entities on this in advance so that the media entities can, Republicans pounce. No, I mean, the news media, they don't pounce, right? That's not right. They just report the news. So they intend to do that. And when this happens, the news media is going to believe that they've slipped one past you, and they haven't. And I don't think Michael Moore knows the degree to which we are committed to not having the media pick our president. In fact, this has gotten nowhere near the attention it should. Rasmussen, in their latest telephone survey, asked questions about what should happen to rogue officials who targeted President Trump. 52% of likely U.S. voters say that senior federal law enforcement officials who broke the law in an effort to prevent Trump winning the presidency. They say it's likely that happened. And that's a change, by the way. And this includes 36%. They say it's unlikely that it happened. 36% say it's very likely they broke the law to get Trump. They want them jailed. They want them punished and jailed in a plurality of the cases. 43% say if they're found guilty of breaking the law to prevent a Trump presidency, they should be jailed. Now, here's the key number. That's up by 25% from earlier this year. Up by 25%. Why? Because of this program. Why? Because of the reach that this program has. Because of social media, because of conservative blogs, because there is balance and the news media can't stand it. And Michael Moore doesn't understand it, that we are seeing this imbalance. If you want to just question this from a theoretical basis, let me ask you this question. If you were in, let's say you were in a relationship, let's say you were in a marriage and you were in a marriage for 3 years, and 3 years into that marriage, you found out that your spouse, who you thought was, let's say, from the state of Idaho, and you thought had a degree in botany, and you thought grew up water skiing and playing volleyball, was in fact from the Eastern Bloc Soviet countries and had never been near water skiing and never seen the state of Idaho. 3 years into a marriage, do you step back to the guy, that's interesting. So anyway, honey, what's for dinner? The marriage between the Democrats and the media is just like this. It is now 3 years into the Russia hoax, and it was not the media who turned around and said, wait a minute, you lied to us. You told us you had it. You told us he was a spy. We aired this stuff. In a legitimate case, in an honest case, every senior editor of every news organization would have called to the carpet everyone involved in perpetuating this. It would have been the media who turned to do the investigation. It would have been the media to say, where did this start? It would have been the media to say, was this legal? It would have been up to them. And it wouldn't have had to gone to a federal investigation by some people who are supportive of justice and work for President Trump. It wouldn't have had to do that. If your wife suddenly revealed that she wasn't the person you thought she was for 3 years, would you then question other things? Or would you just say, okay, so that's those are the only lies. You're only from Russia. You didn't grow up in Idaho. Is there anything else? The media hasn't even gone that far. They're not interested in this story of how did it all get started. So Michael Moore has on the tip of his tongue the idea that Trump is going to win again and a second huge middle finger. But I don't think he understands the dynamic and the way the media is helping to drive enthusiasm for voting for the President of the United States. Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. And I appreciate you putting up with just a little old fill-in host. Cannot fill the shoes of Rush, but appreciate the opportunity. Martin in Gainesville, Florida. You're on the Rush Limbaugh Show. Todd Herman filling in on the topic of Michael Moore. Hi, Martin.
Nice work today, Todd.
I appreciate that, sir. Thank you.
What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And that fits our media here today. They are so deep in their lies and BS that they cannot begin to unravel it. They won't, because it'll just tear the entire tapestry apart. And so
indeed,
there is a groundswell of people that see this, and I think there's a lot more Trump voters waiting in the wings to show up on Election Day, but we can't be complacent. We need to get out. We need to speak to people and tell them the truth about what this left-leaning guy like a Moore or others in Congress or others in the Senate that are just absolute socialists who do not care what you and I think. They have their own ends that they are desiring, and the means they will take whatever they can get to get there, including a complicit media.
And the complicitness of the media is so, so misunderstood. You get it. And I want to thank you for the call, Martin. You get it. But let me explain something that is another aspect to Trump that people who haven't worked in D.C., it's difficult to get. And Rush has talked about this for years. The fact that Republicans are chasing the tail, the fantasy belief that they're going to be liked by the media. You've heard this for years, right? And Rush has been exactly right on this. An aspect of media and Republicans and this and not just the lurch to the left, the propaganda that's misunderstood is this, that Republicans in Washington, D.C. did not see and did not understand the degree to which you, by parts, were giving up on them. And they didn't get this. I worked in D.C. As the chief digital strategist at the Republican National Committee. So I was there I was absolutely an outsider. And I did everything I could to remain an outsider. I went to zero dinner parties. I took exactly one meeting. Carl Rove's people reached out to me to talk about technology. And Mr. Rove invited me to breakfast at his home. And yes, I went. And it was fantastic. And he's a very curious mind, Rove. So I went. But I wouldn't have any other meetings with insiders. I just would not. Because that's how you get seduced. And when I was leaving the committee, I wrote a paper that's I wish I had kept. I kept some of the work I did for them because I wanted to say, hey, there's some things I warned you about. One of the things I tried to warn them about is that someone would come along with star credential and overtake their Republican Party. And I was thinking along the lines of someone like a Chuck Norris. I wasn't thinking along the lines of Donald Trump. But what I saw was the frustration that people have had with, don't tell us this can't be done. Don't tell us you can't fight the media. And they are legitimately afraid of the media for years. And I can tell you how afraid. Do you remember when Sarah Palin was on the cover of Runner's Magazine? Do you remember this? She was in it was a running outfit. It's meant to be light. It's not meant to be revealing. It's light so you can run. Katie Couric, as I recall, made fun of Sarah Palin for looking, I don't know, sexy or something in this running outfit, and it got this big news. Someone found on social media a picture of Katie Couric drunk dancing, and I put it on social media. We were at an event, I think it was in Annapolis, Maryland. And I put this in social media, and it went sort of viral. And one of our communications directors came to me and said, can you please take that down? I go, what? She goes, the picture of Katie. What? You want me to take down the picture of Katie Carr? Yeah, she's really hurt by it. Wait a minute. She just said this about Sarah Palin. And so this comms executive was just saying, oh, please, Todd, I'm new to the job. Please, can you just take this down? I said, I'll tell you what. You call Katie Couric and ask her to take down. You ask her to take down what she put up about Sarah Palin. You do that. And I will be glad to take this down. You ask her to do that. And they wouldn't do it. You know, Katie Couric would not take the thing down. Well, why would she? Right? Because she knew she owned them. So the degree to which the media owns the minds of the Republicans in Washington, D.C. is just not understood unless you've worked there and you've seen the panic. And that's not the only case. The other case of this was Michael Steele. And, you know, I know Michael's on MSNBC and, you know, truth be told, Michael was really, really helpful to me at the Republican National Committee. Nothing but good to me. I'm disappointed to see where he's at politically. But Michael Steele actually called me to lay off Wolf Blitzer. This was during a debate when Wolf Blitzer was attacking one of our candidates and so biased in this debate, no balance at all in the questions he was asking. And Michael called me and said, I'm asking you as your friend to lay off of Wolf. And again, Michael was good to me. I said, wait, are you asking me as my friend or are you telling me as the chairman? If you're telling me as the chairman, fine. And he said, no, I'm asking you as your friend. So I didn't take it down. And to his credit, he didn't do anything against me on that. Real quick here, call here from Don in Clearwater, Florida. You're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Welcome, Don.
Thank you so very much. I have to say, short-term listener, first-time caller, because I think I've only heard you like four times. So
Thank you.
I listen to Rush a lot. And I hate to take you back to last hour, but has anybody ever put together the possibility of Elizabeth Warren's Medicare for All and similar plans being used as a backdoor in the gun control?
You have no idea how spot on you are. Absolutely no idea. Don, I'm going to get into this. That's Mark. Don from Clearwater, Florida is the author of this idea. I'm going to tell you what's happening on the West Coast. I'll give you a hint. On the West Coast, they're turning gun crimes into healthcare crime or not healthcare incidents. And they've banned voters from voting on things related to public health. Speaking of that, the most unreported public health story in the United States coming up next. You will not believe what you're about to hear. Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in on the EIB network. Thank you, EIB, for having me. It is Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh. You've seen in government schools around the country an effort to divorce gender from sex. And this has had some unbelievably surprising and somewhat scary results. There's been about a 4,000% increase in kids who are identifying as a gender separate from their biological sex. And on the West Coast and in areas around the country, there are, in fact, places where kids can get hormone treatment without parental consent starting at the age of 13, surgery starting at the age of 15, taxpayer supported if they're citizens of that state. So this can sound like, well, wait, this doesn't affect us. It does, because there's an effort, of course, to have this be taxpayer funded around the country. Reached out to an expert in pediatrics. His name is John Whitehall. He is a professor of pediatrics at Western Sydney University. He's a 50-year career. 15 years, he was director of the neonatal intensive care in Townsville, North Queensland, which included resuscitation and saving lives around the country. He's widely regarded as perhaps the most respected pediatrician in Australia. Recently, he has said that medicalizing, that is, surgery and hormones for kids who believe that they are a different sex, is perhaps the greatest medical scandal that we've seen in maybe our lifetime. And Professor Whitehall joins us now super early in Australia. Thank you for joining us, Professor.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're a bit too generous in your introduction, but you're welcome.
Well, I'm just reading what I've read about you. And what's, explain to people what is going on to young people. And let's start with this idea of this application, what's called puberty blockers, which in our country, the FDA has not approved for this use. This stops puberty, but do I understand it also affects brain development?
Oh, it does, but this is completely ignored as like a conspiracy of silence by the proponents of its use, because it has been shown in scientific literature. I didn't write this stuff. I'm just relaying it to you. There are researchers throughout the world, especially in Glasgow and Oslo, for example, who have shown that there is a sustained interruption with the function of the limbic system in sheep when you put them onto blockers around the time of puberty. So what on earth is the limbic system? That's a system in your brain that coordinates emotion and thinking and reward and ambition and forms a kind of a world view, or like an identity. And upon that identity, then you make executive decisions. Now, that is interfered with in sheep. And they can demonstrate that. The effect of hundreds of genes they have found in Oslo to be messed up. And not surprisingly, the sheep do badly in mazes later on, and they are also much more emotionally labile. This is a really important thing, because the male sheep are much more gung-ho, risk-taking, and the female sheep are much more anxious and with ill at ease. Now, we know that the children, we know, not like these are other people's reports, not mine, that 75% of the children who express confusion of their gender are also suffering from diagnosed psychiatric illnesses, mental disorders such as anxiety and depression, even schizophrenia. So this is an already very vulnerable group of young people by their own internal mental disorders, and usually associated with family disruption and other things. And now you're putting them onto puberty blockers, which are going to affect their limbic system, their judgment and so forth, and make them more emotionally vulnerable. So why are we doing this? Allegedly to help them work out more clearly whether they're a boy or a girl, and whether they want to reproduce later on. And this is a fanciful thing. This is biologically implausible. This is child abuse, in my opinion, because they're putting these blockers, putting children as young as 10 and a half. The youngest one in Australia was 10 and a half, who went on to blockers in order to help him think straight, and it's biologically implausible, and in research, it's not going to work. It's going to make him worse. While we're on that, can I just say the next step in this pathway, this sort of escalation of medical intervention for childhood gender dysphoria, the next step, which comes after this, but at an increasingly younger age, is the administration of cross-sex hormones. Now, in other words, estrogen to a boy and testosterone to a girl. Now, the literature is filled with all sorts of complications of that, to do with susceptibility to thrombosis, heart attacks, and so forth. But they do not mention the thing of exquisite importance, the effect on the number one organ, which is the brain. Now, again, not my research, but ignored, conspiracy of silence by the proponents of this. People have shown that if you put an adult male onto estrogen, the brain shrinks at a rate 10 times faster than aging after only 4 months. Now, these are not my words. These are the MRI studies. Mm-hmm. And we are putting these children on these cross-sex hormones at the age of enormous brain growth and development, that is to say, through adolescence. And what's going to happen? Well, I think we know that the suicide rate is much higher in adults who have undergone transgendering surgery. We know that. I mean, there's 20 times higher. It's proven. And everyone, the proponents say, well, that's because that's our fault, because we don't accept them. Well, that's nonsense. That high rate is in the most accepting countries like Holland and Belgium and so forth. Another thing they don't want to talk about is, well, hang on a second, you have interfered with the limbic system. You have made this person, this already vulnerable person, more emotionally stable. You have shrunk his brain or interfered with her brain. Maybe the treatment itself has so influenced the functioning of the brain that this person no longer feels that life is worth living. There are all sorts of things that are not talked about.
And Professor John Whitehall is with us. Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh, Western Sydney University. Professor Pediatrics, sir. We've got just 2 minutes here. Not enough time for this, Professor. You got a petition signed by 200 fellow medical practitioners looking for the Australian government to call a tribunal on this. Talk about what happened once that petition became so well regarded and signed so often.
Nothing. You don't look to our politicians for understanding of this, nor of support, because they are about to pass laws even more draconian here than the laws that would the laws controlling the way you manage those children where you are. In the state of Queensland, they're about to pass a law which will put a person who does not refer a child who's confused over his gender, does not put them onto the pathway of hormones and surgery. If you don't do that, then you can face an 18 months time in jail.
Unbelievable.
Even you don't have that. So I don't look to our politicians for understanding or support in this. We have to start raising a movement, a greater duty of care movement. Wherein lies a doctor's greater duty of care? Obeying the government or in refusing to send children onto that pathway of medical escalation?
It is unbelievable. And in this country, kids in as quick as 45 minutes can be put on the path of this as a so-called gender therapist. Professor Whitehall, this is the first step of you talking United States. I hope you'll do more of this. And I want to thank you for being brave, because there are a lot of people who know it's wrong. There are endocrinologists in our country who've lost their board seats. They've lost their jobs. There are journalists who've lost their jobs for daring to even talk of this. And I thank you, sir, from the bottom of my heart for sharing this, and I hope people heard it.
No, I'm very happy to be on your program. I love your country, sir, and not only because I've got two grandchildren who are, in fact, Americans.
Well, then we need to get you over here. And to your kids, they're welcome here. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, Professor John Whitehall, Western Sydney University. They're damn lucky to have you. Appreciate you coming on the Rush Limbaugh program. Thank you, Professor. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Just had Professor John Whitehall from Australia on, expressing his views, not those of the university at which he works, based upon research on giving hormone blockers to kids, young kids, 7, 4 years old, and the fact that it shrinks brains, so does the cross-sex hormones, according to studies he's done. Randy from California says he's a doctor on the Rush Limbaugh program, agrees with Professor Whitehall. Randy, thanks for calling the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, hi, Todd. Yeah, I'm a general surgeon, so actually pediatrics is not my specialty, but I became involved with this somewhat through one of our hospitals a couple of years ago. And what Dr. Whitehall, I echo what he's talking about. The American College of Pediatrics put out a paper in 2017 basically discussing similar things to what he's talking about. They basically... I've pulled the paper up, and it's been a while since I looked at it, so it's a little hard for me to try to pull up some of the salient features. But you know, one of them was talking about, one quote is, absent hormonal and surgical intervention, only 5 to 20% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will face a transgender adulthood.
Yeah, people come out of this, is what I'm told. People come out of this, right? And so, in your mind, is why the rush to this? Why all of a sudden must we put kids on this path to hormone surgery, starting at the age of 4? Sometimes I'm reading about today. What in your opinion, Randy, is driving this?
Well, in my opinion, gosh, I it's so hard to know. You know, there's so many different. You know, I mean, it seems like so much of this has, once again, gotten into the media, and then the media runs with it.
Yep.
Why they're running with it is, you know, anybody's guess. I mean, is there an agenda? Yeah, there probably is. You know, who's pushing the agenda? You know, that's really hard to say and hard to tell. But, you know, in the case of children, this paper, you know, just as Dr. Whitehall said, you know, kind of suggests that you know, doing any kind of surgical or medication intervention in prepubertal children is almost child abuse. In fact, some of the editorials that came into that, you know, suggested more strongly that is child abuse.
Yeah, that was what Professor Whitehall had said. I mean, speaking about shrinking someone's brain and their capacity to learn and experience a full range of life, it certainly seems that way to me. Randy, thanks very much for the call. I appreciate you very, very much, Doctor. Thank you. Jane from Saratoga County, New York, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Jane.
Hi, how are you? I was listening to the doctor. His opinions are brilliant. I lived in Vermont and was a mental health specialist when Bernie Sanders had his reign of terror there. And I was an in-home counselor where I worked with little children. I specialized in incest and drug abuse. I went into homes and worked with children every single day. And it's an ongoing process where you have to sit and re-educate someone. You can't fill them full of drugs and expect them to ever get well. And I would work on an average of probably 4 years with each family at the least. And what frightens me is I think we're going to see an escalation in the suicide rate among children and teenagers, and that's really frightening. The state crippled people. I would go in and find jobs for families, and the state would encourage them, oh, don't take that job, because if you do, you're going to lose your subsidized housing, and you're going to lose Section 8. 3 years later, the mental health department collapsed, and four of us stayed on for 10 years for no pay, and I don't know what will happen to the world if people like that are allowed to move forward. It's a very frightening thing. People need to wake up. They really do.
Jane, I want to thank you for the call. We're running short on time. I want to thank you for what you said. My dad was a social worker his whole life, and what you said really resonates with me. Thank you for the phone call. I want to add, because you inspired me to say something, Jane, that is important here. What do we know that the left likes, that they have to have in order to function? They need to have victims. The left has to have victims. And what do we know about some lobbyists in the world of pharmaceuticals? We know that they went to the government and they invented something called pain as the fifth vital sign, right? They invented that. It's nonsense. Pain is not a vital sign, right? Your brain function, your lung function, your heart function. We've got vital signs that mean vital information. You're alive. They invented pain as the fifth vital sign. And then lobbyists went and sold that throughout the states. And what followed then was a massive expansion in the use of opioids. And then, you know, we'll talk next hour about how Barack Obama, in fact, allowed opioids to be shipped into our country in one of the other least covered stories, our best hidden stories of the year. We'll talk about that next hour. But are they doing the same thing here with hormones for kids? The same lobbyists invent a problem, make it worse, and then, hey, here's the cure. I don't know. It's worth looking into. Hey, have you been to RushLimbaugh.com and gotten your Rush 24/7 membership yet? You should do that. Access to the archives. Never miss a Rush show. Never miss anything Rush says. Go right now and get your access to Rush 24/7 at RushLimbaugh.com. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. We're going to go quick to Christine in Asheville, North Carolina. And got about a minute here, Christine, but I wanted to get what you wanted to say on the air real quick. Hello.
Okay, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about gun-free zones, and I hope you're listening, Mr. Biden. I feel they are a threat to our country, and we should all have basic human rights of self-defense. The gun-free zones endanger law-abiding citizens, in my opinion. There's a lady named Nikki Gosar. She went into a gun-free restaurant with her husband, and a man came in that had been stalking her, and he shot her husband 7 times and murdered him right there on the spot in front of her. Can you imagine the horror and the nightmares that she has? Now, she had a concealed carry permit, and she obeyed the law and left it locked in her car.
Yep.
So if the bad guy is the only one with a gun, he's going to win.
Well, maybe what Joe Biden can do is institute a timeout law that the bad guy has to give you the opportunity to go get your concealed carry. So like an international sign for timeout. I remember that story. Great point you bring up, Christine. Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network.